This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at sd.net.
Senate will come to order. Leading us in a prayer today is Pastor John Fetty. He's a member of the Pier Fort Beer Ministerial Association. And the page leading us in the pledge is Sydney Marceau from Highmore Herald High School.
Let us pray. Almighty God, we come to you again because we know that you are the giver of all that is good and perfect. And Father, we need many things today for our minds and hearts that we may conduct a business set before us. We pray for each family here. We pray for our military that you would grant them safety, grant their leaders wisdom. Now, Father, we do look forward to the answers to our prayers. For this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Secretary will call the roll.
Senator Blair, Boland, Kamak, Cronin, Kerr, DeSanto, Ewing, Foster, Greenfield, Heiner, Jensen, Kennedy, Klum, Colbeck, Langer, Maher, Monroe, Nelson, Nessebar, Nordstrom, Otten, Partridge, Rush, Russell, Schoenbeck, Smith, Sohold, Solano, Stalzer, Steinhauer, Sutton, White, Wick, Wismer, and Youngberg. We have a quorum, Mr. President.
Approval of the journal.
Mr. President, the Committee on Legislative Procedure respectfully reports that the Secretary of the Senate has had under consideration the Senate Journal of the fourth day. All errors, typographical or otherwise, are duly marked in the temporary journal for correction, and we hereby move the adoption of the report. Senator Greenfield, Chair.
Is there a second? All in favor of that motion say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion carries. First of all, the doctor of the day is Dr. Schroeder. He has practiced medicine in Miller for 35 years, and he will be here today and tomorrow, I believe. Please stand. Thank you for being here. Also, on behalf of Senator Greenfield, I would like to thank the South Dakota Birth Matters for providing the lunch in the rotunda. Deb Peasy is the legislative coordinator. I don't believe they're in the audience today. Oh, yes. Yes. And also on behalf of Brock, Senator Greenfield, Dan and Nina Seppinen, are you up there? Yes. I believe you brought a couple van loads of homeschool kids and public school kids here from the Hamlin District. So thank you very much for being here. Reports of standing committees.
Mr. President, the Committee on State Affairs reports that it has had under consideration Senate Bill 26 and recommends due pass, and Senate Bill 7 recommending deferring this to the 41st legislative day. Senator Ewing, Chair. The Committee on Transportation has had under consideration Senate Bill 10 recommending due pass, and Senate Bill 13 recommends due pass and place it on the consent calendar. Senator Otten, Chair.
Messages.
Mr. President, I have the honor to return here with SCR1, in which the House has concurred, and I have the honor to inform the body that the House has adopted the report of the Joint Select Committee relative to making arrangements for a memorial recognition of deceased former members of the Senate and the House. Sandra Zinter, Chief Clerk.
Motions and resolutions.
Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 5. a concurrent resolution commending Senators John Thune and Mike Rounds for their votes to confirm Brett Kavanaugh's nomination to the United States Supreme Court and wishing Associate Justice Kavanaugh well in his new role.
President Pro Tem has waived committee hearing referral of Senate Concurrent Resolution 5. It will be placed on the calendar for Tuesday, January 15th, the sixth legislative day.
Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 2, a concurrent resolution to provide for legislative task forces to study, report, and develop and consider recommendations and proposed legislation regarding sustainable improvements to the continuum of mental health services available in the state. Senator Soholt moves that SCR 2, as found on page 14 of the Senate Journal, be adopted.
All in favor of that motion, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion carries. We will back up. That was a roll call vote, and I never opened it up to debate, so we will start over. The question being Senator Soholt's motion that SCR 2 be adopted. Any comments? Senator Soholt, apologize.
No problem. I thought if it was that easy, let's go. I'm all about it.
I thought we were still on procedural votes.
That's apologize. Just fine. Thank you, Mr. President. I'm so pleased, fellow senators, to bring before you Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 2. And this comes from the Mental Health Access Interim Group, all of the 15 members of which are signed on to this bill. And I want to especially call out in the Senate the people that were a part of this work, Senator Ewing, Senator Kennedy, Senator Langer, Senator Solano, Senator Stalzer, and beginning as Representative Wismer, but now Senator Wismer, as a part of this very important work. This interim study had a very significant scope to wrap our arms around. It was a review of all the mental health services available in the state, the capacity of the available services, how persons with mental illness are treated in the continuum of care, the facilities, locations, resources, treatment options, and services available for treatment of persons with mental illness, along with the financial cost to the state and its political subdivisions. I want to share that this group met for 5 times, and we did an extensive assessment about the mental health services within the state of South Dakota. We did a level set on what is available within the state from the Department of Social Services and the Department of Health. We spent time in site visits, visiting the Human Services Center, looking at acute mental health services within Sioux Falls, visiting with the law enforcement community, the UJS community, talking with the nonprofits that were involved in community-based mental health work, listening to the 11 community-based mental health centers within the state of South Dakota, along with working with April Hendrickson from WICHE, who was a consultant through the Department of Social Services to help us understand statutes within the nation that are showing promise, to help us understand the return on investment for the kinds of services that can be provided within mental health. At the summation of that, knowing that we had 5 meetings, what we did, and it's on your desk, senators, is we developed a model, which is an inverted triangle, looking at where should we try to provide services to the citizens of the state of South Dakota, from prevention to early intervention to crisis supports, outpatient mental health services, specialized outpatient mental health, specialized housing and residential, day treatment, and inpatient psychiatric care. We then additionally went in and took all of those areas of work, all of those focus areas, and you will see on the next couple of pages, we developed a table looking at what exists within the state of South Dakota in providers, evidence-based programs and services, trainings, state or federal funding, and the numbers of people served within all of those areas. We then additionally went further, and we looked at return on investment research data that existed all over the country, from other states, from universities, and that is not on your desk, but it's available to you on the interim website. That's all public documents that are available to anyone that wants to look them up, to look at which areas show promise in trying to increase not only access, but the outcomes for the people that we would be serving within those access points. Within that work, then, we identified five major gap areas. Not to say that work hasn't happened within those areas, but that within SCR, we are proposing that in 2019, that five additional groups come together. To bring forward statutory change in relationship to these areas would have really just been premature. We need groups to come together that represent not only the legislature, but also the executive branch, and then professionals within the field to really take a deep dive into these five areas that we determined were gaps. All of them are for moving people up that inverted triangle where we're into prevention and early intervention, where the outcomes are better for our people, we keep them in community, and also we are spending less money as a state. So what we are proposing within this SCR, based on that we face a broad spectrum of mental health issues in the state of South Dakota, we're hearing it from our constituents, we're hearing it from all of our legislative districts, that we are faced with the highest per capita rate of suicide in the nation, that we really need long-term solutions to address these mental health access issues, that regionally focused solutions are the pathway to provide mental health access for our citizens. Then we propose that separate task forces should be developed to study, review, and identify each of the following. One is to redefine acute mental health hospitalizations in the area of short, intermediate, and long-term care placement, keeping people placed in community wherever possible. That we saw that with acute hospitalizations, so many times in the state of South Dakota, they're moving directly from the initial point of intervention and assessment capture, if you will, and going directly to the Human Services Center. We particularly heard this need outside in Rapid City, where we're transferring our citizens all the way across the state. And when we analyzed information from the Human Services Center, there is a large number of individuals that would be a length of stay, which is 7 days or less. We need to understand how to keep people in community within our current acute mental health centers, which would be Avera Behavioral Health Center in Sioux Falls, Rapid City Regional in Rapid City, and Avera St. Luke's in Aberdeen. Those are the only additional three acute behavioral health centers in the state of South Dakota. We need a group to understand this and how would we change the care trajectory, as well as build an infrastructure of care continuum management, and how would we do the payment infrastructure. We need a task force group to come together to reduce the overall use of acute mental health hospitalizations by developing supporting existing alternatives where appropriate, creating community-based short-stay alternatives, and develop day treatment options. When you look at the inverted triangle, the last two areas, we have a significant gap in the state of South Dakota. And yet we have citizens that need a short-term place to be further assessed, to perhaps get on their medications. We heard about this from the law enforcement community, the judicial community, as well as the acute mental health community. We believe that a group can come together and develop, working with the community-based mental health centers, this short-term 2 to 3 day length of stay space, which is more cost-effective, keeping people in regional community, and then being able to get them back home or a handoff into their community-based mental health services versus going to jail or going into acute mental health situation, neither of which would be appropriate placement for those individuals. We need a third task force to leverage telehealth and telemedicine to the full appropriate extent, with a focus on acute assessment and crisis supports, along with mental health assessments and counseling. We heard profound statistics coming out of our law enforcement community about crisis intervention debriefing teams, bringing professionals into the field so that they can de-escalate a crisis that is happening. So right now, when we have an early crisis, they're going to the acute mental health or Human Services Center or to jail. Many of these individuals can be just stay at home. They don't even have to go to a shorter stay alternative location. We have great statistics to back that up. So what we are looking at is leveraging to the full extent technology, also being able to help people in the very remote corners of South Dakota to be able to bring in those virtual experts into the situation in the moment to determine, is this acute hospitalization? Do they need to go to an ER? Is this someone that needs to go to a shorter stay space? Or is this someone that we can work with them in the moment and keep them at home? Currently, we have crisis debriefing teams that exist within Sioux Falls. There's one developing and being formed in Pierre, and we heard from them. And also, there is a fixed location in Rapid City that is doing this work. We need to expand that in a virtual way throughout the state. When we start to think about workforce development in the state of South Dakota, we are going to have to find a way to leverage the expertise by using virtual technologies. We're a small state. We're going to only be able to recruit so many high-end professionals into our state, and we believe very strongly as a task force, an interim group, that we can leverage virtual technology to really improve access and outcome. Additionally, we can leverage virtual strategies to do assessment and counseling within all corners of our state, linking with these short-stay alternative places and further enhancing our community-based mental health centers with virtual strategies. We also need a task force to come together and redefine what is currently a nursing home for our citizens that have dementia behaviors, organic brain situations that are happening that have led to mental health-like behaviors that are difficult to manage and treat. Those folks are going down to the Human Services Center and spending the rest of their life. And we now have an expanded nursing home at the Human Services Center. There may be some people with very protracted mental health issues that are at risk to themselves or the public that will have to age out at the Human Services Center. This is not what we're talking about. We're talking about a group coming together to look at how do we appropriately manage organic brain change behaviors in a regional way. And we will probably need to provide better support to our nursing homes, new interpretation of the rules, multiple strategies, but we believe that we can keep people in community versus sending them to the Human Services Center for the rest of their lives. We also need a group to look at increasing the capacity for transitional housing and residential services within community, keeping individuals closer to home. Those with protracted long-term behavioral health issues that they are going to struggle with for a lifetime, having a place to be and to live to keep safe, perhaps be employed to the level that they can be employed. And also we have included in this group, how do we provide support to those that are caregivers within the state of South Dakota that are working with their loved ones in relationship to long-term mental health issues? What we are asking for, and the reason we did this as an SCR, is a couple of reasons, and the budget is also attached to the information on your desk, senators. We looked at what would it cost the state of South Dakota to bring these five very powerful task forces together. We believe that this is something that we have to do. If we're serious about looking at the mental health trajectory, we've spent a lot of money in programming. Some of it works, some of it does not work. These are significant gap areas that we can expand, innovate, and develop. The cost of these task forces at a maximum would be $95,667. We're proposing it, bringing it through an SCR for a couple of reasons. One is, we didn't want to bring it as a straight-up bill because then you're putting task forces into statute when this is a shorter-term subject. Although having it statutorily put together would say this is really a subject of great import to all of us as senators and the full legislative body. Additionally, we did not want to put it just directly to LRC to say to our executive board, make a decision on these summer studies because we typically only fund one or two. So in working with this SCR, we did work with the LRC and talking about could this fit into the existing LRC budget, and the answer is yes, with the intentionality behind it of the legislature. And we also wanted to include members of the executive branch and those that are in the field. So you can see the budget before you. I won't belabor the process. It's less than $20,000 per group. In these kinds of task forces, because many members would have additional support from the bodies that they work in, it probably would even be a less dollar amount, but we wanted to be transparent that this would be the very top dollar amount. And so with that, senators, good senators, I would ask your affirmative support of SCR 2 as an extension of this significant summer study work that we did in mental health access, of continuing the energy of the work and really getting to possible solutions that we can measure a change trajectory into the future, that we would improve the lives of our citizens as well as be cost effective for the state. I would ask for your affirmative vote, and I will stand by for any questions.
Thank you. Further comments on SCR2? Senator Ewing.
Thank you, Mr. President. Ladies and gentlemen of the Senate, I can't begin to really say much more than the previous speaker has. The good senator was our chairman on this committee this summer, and I had the privilege of being on that committee as well. And it really opened up my eyes. I knew we had a problem in this state, as other states do as well, but it became more complex than what I ever dreamed of. So we need to get behind this legislation and become proactive rather than be on the tail end of on the prevention. And so I too would urge you to please support this legislation. Thank you.
Thank you. Further remarks? Senator Russell.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have a question for the sponsor.
State your question.
Was there any legislation brought by the Summer Study Committee other than this particular resolution?
Senator Stolt, do you wish to answer?
Yes, thank you, Mr. President, and thank you for that question. We have one other piece of legislation that speaks to expanding the 211 connection line for our citizens that has actually already been assigned to State Affairs. We also spent a great deal of time in a potential piece of legislation on the involuntary commitment process and looking at how do we have a smoother trajectory from county to county. There are some issues in Lincoln County in relationship to the folks that would be transferring to that acute mental health facility. There were a variety of issues brought up by the UJS and others that piece of legislation will probably not become. We have a group that's looking at it to see if we couldn't get it all the way home within the interim group. The other part, Senator, to your question, really has to do with we knew there are other things to fix statutorily, but without the work of these task forces, we felt that it would be premature to understand what to do. For instance, with this nursing home situation, we would need to have a statutory change in relationship to commitment to HSC for organic brain. Right now, behaviors that happen from organic brain deterioration is a qualifying criteria for HSC. For us just to change that without a mechanism of being able to care for those people in another way would really be just putting things ahead of time. So what we anticipate is that through the work of these groups, we can see areas in statute that would need to be changed in the future, and we would expect more to come to pass in 2020.
Senator Russell, you have the floor.
Follow up, Mr. Speaker.
State
or Mr.
Question.
President, does this particular new group that we are envisioning, will that be a year process or will that be a multi-year process? Have we put any kind of a time frame on this in order to actually come up with some legislation to address this issue?
Senator Holt. So Holt, do you wish to answer?
Yes. Thank you for the great question. It would have been something I should have actually shared with the group, so I really appreciate it. This would be only for 2019. With a report to the legislature at the end of 2019, this is one-time money.
Senator Russell.
Thank you, Mr. President. I know that the legislature has taken serious consideration of this matter, including the second floor, over the last few years, and I'm thankful that that the committee met over the summer and has come with something for us to address here in this legislature. My only concern is that we have known about the problems associated with this for a number of years. We had a committee established over the summer to address it, and this may be the first step. However, I'm hopeful that between now and next year that we will actually come with something tangible in terms of legislation so that we can actually address the issue. All too often, the task forces and or committees don't get to the root of the matter, and so I do appreciate the fact that we're trying to get to it. I just wish that we would have had something more tangible at this juncture. The other concern that I have is the buy-in from the executive. I didn't hear too much about that. Maybe Senator Solholt can expand upon that in her closing. But my understanding during the last campaign was that the governor was not interested in having a number of task forces going forward. And I tended to agree with her analysis of that, that we needed leadership and that we needed someone to step forward and actually put forth something for the consideration of this legislature. And I'm hoping that we're going to move in that direction as we go forward, because I think that a number of the task forces that we've had, whether it be the Criminal Justice Initiative or another, or the school funding formula initiative, I think we've created ourselves more problems over the years with a number of these task forces, rather than simply showing the kind of leadership that we've seen in the past from governors like Governor Janklow, et cetera, who would simply bring things forward and we would address the problems, and we would address the problems in a timely manner. This particular issue needs to be addressed. I understand that. But I hope that we're not getting too many different task forces moving in too many different directions. We've identified in this particular resolution a number of charges for these task forces. It appears to me that maybe we were, if we're dictating what these particular task forces are to address, maybe we were on the cusp of having some remedies for the problems that have been identified. So with that, I thank you. I thank the members for their patience. I also thank the task force for their work over the summer, and I'm very hopeful that the legislation that we're considering here today will bear fruit in the next legislative session. Thank you.
Thank you. Further remarks? Senator Langer.
Thank you, Mr. President. I also want to thank Chair Solholt for her work. The E-Board gave this committee quite the scope of practice that we were supposed to come up with some solutions for. It was an enormous, enormous task. She was able to use her connections with her long years in healthcare to get us some wonderful information, to get in front of some video conferencing, to actually see some therapy in practice, and got us into some the various facilities across the state. The task force worked very hard, and she did a wonderful job of bringing it all together. As far as the task forces that are being asked about, I think we need to remember that we are a separate branch of government, and I believe that our task forces are for our information, and I would ask you to really support this. We just did not have time in the five meetings that we had to really, we did identify our areas that are very crucial, and we are at a crisis situation in the state, and we do need to make sure and address these issues and address them well. So with that, I would ask you to support this important resolution as we go forward. Thank you.
Thank you. Further remarks? Senator Solano.
Thank you, Mr. President. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Very sharp outfit that you're wearing today. I like that. Well, I also want to thank and recognize the chairs, both Representative Otten and Chair Solholt, for the leadership in this. And I also want to thank the discussion that's happened already to really recognize that the task force was asked to, in a sense, solve kind of world hunger. You know, when you're asking a task force to address access to mental health, that's a very broad subject to try and get your arms around. What I want to encourage the body to remember and to take into consideration is that there were a number of things that probably were very much at the cusp of being brought in as bills. And some things that could be very good investments into the state and into people's lives. But we also recognized as a task force that a wrong investment or a wrong move moving forward can have tremendous negative consequences. Because what we're ultimately talking about here is people's lives. And so it's incumbent upon us as a body to make sure that the steps that we take do pay off with the fruits of the dividends and the investments that we make, and that we do no harm. And I believe that these task forces that are being recommended by this resolution will further that, and very time limited, and we'll be able to bring the suggestions of some of these things that I think we're at the cusp, and bring those forward, and you will see things going into next legislative session that will be proven out to have the investments that we want to make in South Dakota. And I would encourage your support of this resolution. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Further remarks? Seeing none, Senator Solano, do you have any closing remarks? Or Soholt?
Thank you, Mr. President. Well, I understand the desire for wanting something substantive. I, too, as chair of this interim group, would have preferred to have brought full, robust solutions. But the practical matter is, when you look at mental health access, it is complex. And if anyone wants to go and look at all of our minutes and listen to our committee hearings, you will see how diligently we worked and how much we accomplished in five meetings. To really be able to hone in with data and understanding the true gap areas and now be ready to roll up our sleeves and to develop not only a trajectory for improved health for our citizens, but also a business model infrastructure that makes sense so our money is well spent. That is the juncture that we are at. We are not about doing a small piece of legislation that is feel good and to tell us that now we have changed mental health. We are talking about really trying to get to the root of the matter and to provide robust solutions for this state, something that we can all be proud of. So I would ask for your affirmative support of SCR2. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator Soholt. Seeing no further remarks, then the question is Senator Soholt's motion that SCR2 be adopted. All those in favor vote aye. Those opposed nay. Secretary will please call the roll.
Senator Blair.
Aye.
Bolin?
Aye.
Kamak?
Aye.
Cronin?
Aye.
Kurd?
Yes.
DeSanto?
Aye.
Ewing?
Aye.
Foster?
Aye.
Greenfield?
Aye.
Heinert?
Aye.
Jensen?
Aye.
Kennedy?
Aye.
Klum?
Aye.
Kobeck?
Aye.
Langer?
Aye.
Maher?
Aye.
Monroe?
Aye.
Nelson?
Aye.
Nessebar?
Aye.
Nordstrup?
Aye.
Otten?
Aye.
Partridge?
Aye.
Rush?
Aye.
Russell?
Aye.
Schoenbeck?
Aye.
Smith?
Aye.
Soholt?
Aye.
Solano?
Aye.
Stalzer?
Aye.
Steinhauer?
Aye.
Sutton?
Aye.
White?
Aye.
Wick?
Aye.
Wismer?
Aye.
Youngberg?
Aye.
Mr. President, there are 35 yeas.
Motion carries and SCR 2 is adopted. We have, on behalf of Senator Rush, we have some guests in the gallery. The Parker High School senior class, also Ron Nelson, the mayor of Parker, the high school principal, Bill Lieberman. If you would all stand. Christy Fegan's son is a member of this class, and Christy is hosting a class for a two-day government program. And I had the opportunity to meet a number of them at the governor's mansion last night. Thank you for being with us. First reading of Senate bills.
Senate Bill 49, an act to declare void the transgender procedure adopted by the South Dakota High School Activities Association and to establish a determinant in identifying a student's sexual identity for the purpose of participation in high school athletics. Senate Bill 50, an act to remove restrictions regarding the carrying of a concealed weapon in the state capitol by permit holders.
The President announces that those bills, Senate Bill 49 has been sent to Education, and Judiciary gets Senate Bill 50. I think we are ready for announcements. Senator Kamak.
Thank you, Mr. President. The Ag Committee will meet for the first time tomorrow in room 412 at 10 o'clock. We'll have an informational briefing by the GF&P, and we will consider one bill, Senate Bill 33.
I really like hearing Senator Kamak call me Mr. President for some reason. I don't know. Further announcements. Senator Greenfield.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'm trying to get to my note here. I would like to announce on behalf of the Capitol Commission that there will be a Bible study tomorrow morning at 7 o'clock in the Governor's Large Conference Room that's open to all, and tomorrow night at 8 o'clock at Perkins for legislators only, legislators and their guests. Thank you.
Senator Stalzer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Commerce and Energy will meet tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. in room 423.
Thank you. Further announcements. Senator Solano.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Education Committee will meet at 7:45 tomorrow. Our first meeting will have a presentation by the Department of Ed and take up Senate Bill 23 and 24.
Thank you. Senator Russell.
Senate Judiciary will meet at 7:45 tomorrow morning.
Any other announcements? Senator Wick.
Thank you, Mr. President. A couple of things. Your Joint Committee on Appropriations meets tomorrow morning. Agencies we're going to hear for beginning at 8 a.m. Transportation, Public Safety, Department of Revenue, and Department of Labor and Regulation. And also this afternoon, if you'd like to, especially for the new legislators, to learn a little bit more about some of the work your LRC does, they've got a special briefing this afternoon. Issue briefings on administrative rules, promulgation process, wind energy development, workers' compensation, religious organization tax exemptions, the state brand board, and unclaimed property. And those will be taking place later on today, I believe, in room 414. 3 o'clock today, actually. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other announcements? Madam Secretary.
Senator Otten moves that the Senate do now adjourn.
All in favor of that motion will say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Session is adjourned.